I want to declare to you today that we serve and worship a Lord, a God who is Lord over all. Lord over all. Life, as we live, we know is full of divisions and separations. But even in the midst of this, God is Lord over all. Now, divisions and separations and as we compartmentalize life oftentimes is necessary, right? For the school teachers like Becky, we know that we divide out grades and abilities. We don't throw first graders in with eighth graders. So there's a need sometimes for divisions. Within my own secular vocation of information security, one of the principles of information security, especially among sensitive information, is separation of duties and also separation of different levels of classification of information. So in life, we do. There is a necessity at times to divide out, to separate, to not let there be a cross-pollinization of the things and the various events of life. But we also find that separations and divisions are detrimental to us as human beings in terms of relationships. And one of the things that we struggle with in this country is this whole notion, this so-called notion of the separation of church and state. Because I said to you, I declare that our God is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. He is Lord over the church, but he is also Lord over the state. And so we oftentimes within this country, there's this ethos of this impenetrable wall between church and state, between the sacred and the secular, or the sacred and the civic, is this idea that we, as Orthodox Christians, can't take our faith into the secular and civic arena. But this simply militates against the truth of the gospel, that our Lord is Lord and King over all. And we therefore oftentimes unnecessarily compartmentalize our sacred life and our secular life, such that there's really, within American culture at least, there it has become really almost kind of a social moray that you don't discuss religion and politics at the table. In fact, I remember seeing a humorous meme a little while ago that said, "I just saved a bunch of money on Christmas gifts by discussing politics at Thanksgiving dinner." So even within our own families, there's division. There's division regarding how government should be run, how the politics that exist in carrying out government. So why am I bringing this up? Because the gospel lesson really helps to present the idea that our Lord Jesus is indeed King and Master and Lord over all. And it's within the context of a clear separation that existed in the hearts of the Jewish people who were under Roman rule and occupation and who resented having to pay taxes. They lived in what they really understood and knew to be a very oppressive political system. And even though they were free to exercise their faith, their Judaism, they still resented the fact that they had to pay tribute to Caesar, to Rome, that is, to the state. And so the Pharisees had gotten together. They had previously tried to set traps for Jesus. They had tested him. And they thought that they finally came up with the perfect trap. Is it lawful? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And the reason they thought that they had the perfect question to test our Lord is because if he said yes, then he would lose the support of the Jewish people who hated and believed that paying taxes to this pagan government was the worst thing that they could do and taking their wealth. But if he said no, then it would be declared. He would basically be cited for treason by the Roman Empire. And so they bring to him the question after they buttered him up, saying, Lord, we know that you are a good teacher and that you teach in all truth. But is it lawful? And this is from the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew. He said, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? In verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius, or as it says in the King James, a penny. That is, it was a day's wages, essentially. Bring me a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. It's Caesar's money. It's Caesar's money, and if he wants part of that back, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's. So our Lord is, in essence, is saying that in a certain respect, while there is separation between the state and the church, again, separation between the sacred and the secular, we nonetheless live in a world in which we live under state authority, in which we do our due service to the state. None of us, 2,000 years, still like paying taxes. And yet, it is part of our civic duty. This past Tuesday, we had the midterm elections. And those elections, probably more than any other elections in the past, shows and manifest how so deeply divided we are as a nation, politically. But we must remember that even if, regardless of our particular political, the side of the political spectrum that we are on, we continue to exercise our civic duties. We continue to render unto the state. We continue to participate in the democratic process. And while we as Orthodox Christians can be and should be very, very concerned, not so much about the political direction, but by the moral direction that is manifest in politics of our nation, We still honor our political leaders. We still honor the state. In fact, we're called to pray for our leaders, and we do that in every Mass. We pray for the President of the United States right in the canon of the Mass. And in fact, St. Paul in Romans chapter 13 reminds us. He says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of this authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for them, have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Remember that St. Paul was writing at a time, this was not a Christian Roman government, this was still a pagan Roman government who were persecuting the church. And even as they may have seen the government as being corrupt against the precepts of the gospel, St. Paul is still reminding the church to be subject, that God has established governments and the state to help promote good. The only time that we must or can and must resist is when the state, the government, compels us to do something against the ordinances of God and the gospel. But I also want to remind you that we do not just live a secular and sacred life that is divided, but rather we live a sacred life, a life of holiness, in order to help sanctify the secular. The greatest thing that we can do, if we're concerned about the direction of our country, the greatest thing that we can do is to work out our salvation and to let the love and the glory and the fruits of the Spirit manifest forth in our life every day, in our workplace, in our schools, in our communities. That will have far more impact than any vote that we could cast for a political candidate. I want to remind you what St. Paul wrote in our epistle lesson this morning. He says, being confident, this is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying to the people in Philippi, God has begun a good work in you. Your salvation is not yet perfected, but he will complete it the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, at the final consummation of the kingdom. And he goes on in verse 8 in a prayer, saying, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you with all affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. In fact, it was the teachings of St. Paul and of the apostles that helped to Christianize this massive Roman Empire just a few centuries later. This small group of people, of converts, would be the salt of the earth that would transform an entire empire, entire nations, for the gospel of the Lord. We may go to work every day, we may go to school every day, and think, what does that have to do with this here? And I say to you, there is no true separation between the sacred and the secular, because as we take the love and the gospel of Christ, with exercising the fruits of the Spirit into all the places of the world in which we have been planted, dark as they may be, we, by the Holy Spirit, continue the work of sanctifying the secular. For Christ is Lord over all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.